Here we go. We're ready to go. And this is the FBL podcast whose stock is rising higher than GameStop. This is the Fantasy Faithful. I'm your host, Steve McGovern, and I'm joined by my colleague, Harry Diamond Cutter Diamond. How are you keeping, mate? I'm loving the location there, the kitchen. It's just at the time we're recording now, it's lunchtime, so I hope no one wants to come in and get a cuppa or anything like that. You're hogging the wares.
Yeah, a little change of scenery today, but they'll have to be patient if they need anything. More important matters to get through, haven't we?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. But before we get to them, I actually want to bring up something, right? Which is, I think there might be a Fantasy Faithful curse. Now, not with our picks or anything like that. I actually think some of our picks have been pretty good this season. I've been pretty proud of them. We've had some decent ones, you know, and which, you know, you'd hope so being an FPL podcast. However, if you look at our FPL, like, kind of banner thingy, you know, the players on there have not done very well this season. We've got Christian Pulisic, Trent Alexander-Arnold, John Lundstrom, Alan Saint-Maximin, and Adama Traore. None of them have exactly excelled this season. We put them all in that design just kind of based on what they did last season. They were really good FPL assets at different times, and this season I don't think you would say any of them have done particularly well, would you?
No, I think we might need a little refresh on that with some new players in. Some of the stars of this season need a chance to shine.
Yeah, that's it. And I also did a piece before the season started, which was on five FPL players just we expect to absolutely explode this season. And top of the list was, of course, Christian Pulisic again. And he has been injured for most of the season, hasn't really done anything. My prediction was 15 goals and a hatful of assists. I don't think he's going to make that before the end of the season. Second was Anthony Martial. How many league goals does he have? Two.
Yeah, I think something like that.
I said he was going to get 20 league goals. Phil Foden's actually done pretty well. He's done all right, but he just needs more minutes. Kieran Tierney has, again, done all right when he's on the pitch, but hasn't been on the pitch all that much. And then Harvey Barnes. So maybe that piece is not cursed too much or too badly, because Harvey Barnes has done quite well this season. But maybe we are a little bit cursed with those picks, but look, like I said, we've done all right this season. But you know, if we want to get back right into Captain Hindsight, I suppose, and talk about our regrets from the last couple. Well, the last time we spoke was in the middle of the double game week, and I ended up with 137 points. Don't you know? I was very, very happy with that. You weren't so much, but then the week after. In game week 20, I actually benched Thomas Souček after he blanked against Burnley and West Brom. The two teams, everyone was expecting him to nod a few home, and then he gets two in the next game where seemingly everyone benched him, which is just continuing this idea that essentially Souček will only get points when you have him on your bench. And then in game week 21, which is ongoing as we speak, I benched Rob Holding. You got 8 points after the nil-all draw against Man United. I should have known. I blame myself, because Man United have only scored one goal against the Big Six this season. They're pretty much all ending in nil-all draws. And so that's 23 points that I left on the bench, unfortunately. What about you? Any regrets? I think you got a few.
Yeah, I don't really know where to start. I've got plenty. I ended up game week 20 with just 28 points, which is pretty abysmal, really. I think John Stones and Jared Bowen were the only players who returned anything. Everyone else is team full of ones and twos. Bruno Fernandes, captain. Mo Salah, blanked. Son, blanked. Kane obviously went off injured. Not ideal. This game week so far is also not really going any better. I've actually wildcarded for game week 21. I decided to go heavy on Man City and Everton defenders. Everton, of course, got beat at home by Newcastle, and the two Man City defenders I brought in were both unused substitutes. So there's definitely room for improvement for the last week or two. Yeah, I'm on a slippery slope down my mini leagues at the moment that I need to sort of address somehow.
Yeah, well, I feel like I keep saying this every week to you, Harry, but it could be worse. It could always be worse. You could be Matt Target, who took himself out of his own FPL team before an 18-point haul in the double game week. He now has 28 points in the last three game weeks. So ever since he took himself out, he's been absolutely balling. And then as well, apparently, Patrick Bamford captained himself last week and he only got 1 point. So there you go. There's two professional footballers who probably know a thing or two more about this game than us. making some pretty bad FBL choices. But just on that, I mean, this week we want to do something a bit less topical because the game weeks are all running into each other. It's very hard to give our picks and for it to stay relevant and fresh when there's games seemingly every five bloody minutes. But I just want to talk about that game week because, like you said, you got a couple of Everton players. I swapped the injured Harry Kane for Dominic Calvert-Lewin. A lot of people fell into the Everton trap. I mean, some people fell, you know, they dived headfirst into the trap by captaining Luca Digne. I saw that on more than one team. And but like people captaining him, like that's just, it's just, it's insane. But I think now at this point, looking at Everton, we just have to accept that the Everton from earlier in the season was just a moment in time. They were really good. They were scoring plenty of goals, but they were just a moment in time. And now those of us who've jumped back on Everton, we just have to hope that we can get by. They play Leeds in the coming game week, and we're just hoping, like, God, hopefully there'll be goals in that. Hopefully Leeds will let a few in. And their attack actually hasn't been looking too swell lately, so there might be clean sheets there as well. Maybe it'll pay off eventually, Harry. Maybe it'll pay off eventually. But look,
let's hope so.
Yeah, look, at the time of recording, it's the final day of January. The game weeks are coming thick and fast. And so with it being so difficult to get kind of timely advice out to our listeners ahead of each deadline, I just thought we might look ahead to the month of February, which is basically runs from the game weeks 22 to 26. And each of us are going to reveal our five kind of, I don't know if you call them essential, maybe you call them the most important ones, but definitely the players to kind of keep an eye on and look out for and target for your transfers for the rest of the month. So, Harry, before we go any further, what criteria have you employed to make this list? What factors are more important in your eyes?
I've gone for a little bit of a mix of my list. I think I've looked at performances across the whole season, underlying numbers for stats, particularly. So some players I've gone for on what they've done over a longer period of time. And then for some of the others, I've looked ahead to the fixtures and hopefully what they can do. So yeah, I've gone for a little bit of a mix of form and fixtures, which I think is probably the best route to go.
Yeah, I've taken a decent look at the underlying numbers, the ones that are kind of maybe don't, you know, they're not necessarily resulting in goals and assists or clean sheets at the minute, but maybe they will. But I've also factored in the fixture list. However, it kind of feels like at this season, form is trumping fixtures a lot more than in usual seasons. Usually it's a bit of a mix. I mean, look at Everton. Newcastle seemed like the ideal fixture for them, and a lot of people jumped on Everton players, particularly. I think if Harry Kane maybe wasn't injured, a lot fewer people would be going for Dominic Calvert-Lewin. But anyway, there's neither here nor there. That was a fixture that looked like a banker for them, and they got absolutely outplayed by one of the worst teams in the division. So you really can't depend on fixtures, I think, or ease of fixtures this season. It just doesn't work that way. And I think if you were going by the form guide, you wouldn't touch Everton. So I've tried to factor all these things in. I'm trying to avoid recency bias. So X player scored an amazing goal last weekend, so we should get on him. Like, we'll try to take a more holistic approach. So with that, Harry, I want to ask you, who is the first player on your list and why is it Jesse Lingard?
It's not Jesse Lingard, I'm afraid. I did consider him, but I thought a little bit more consent. The first player on my list I've gone for is Jack Grealish, who I think could arguably be the must-have asset in terms of price and reliability. I think there's been quite a lot of hype regarding Grealish over the last few years, but I think this year he's not just Aston Villa's main man, I don't think, anymore. I think he's genuinely one of the best players in the league. Like the stats he's been putting together. He's only 7.7 million. He ranks fifth overall for total points. But yeah, it's the underlying stats that really tell the story. So he's currently third for assists and assists per 90, while he's top of the Premier League for expected assists, key passes, and both shot and goal creating actions. I think Villa have shown this season they've obviously improved massively from just avoiding relegation, and that they're willing to go and attack any team. I don't think they have any fear of who they're playing. They've also got three home games in their next five, whilst their two away fixtures are against the Brighton team that haven't won at home all season and a Leeds team with the third worst defensive record and who are always susceptible to conceding chances. So Grealish is my first player to must have.
Yeah, I think that's a great show. Jack Grealish has been in my team for the majority of the season. And like you said, you look at those fixtures, the next five, Arsenal are the only one of the big six. And, you know, there's a lot of debate as to whether Arsenal should be considered in the big six. But they do play Leicester as well. But I mean, like, it's not like they're not like a load of gimmies in terms of fixtures. But like you said, Aston Villa are very good. And I give them a fighting chance against any team in this league. And he just looks sensational. Like, he passes the eye test on every level. He just got an assist last night in the match against Southampton. So he is definitely a player who's on form, and I think he has many routes to points as well. You just wish he would take bloody penalties to stop turning them down, Jack. He's not as greedy as you would hope he is. But for my first pick, I've also gone for a midfielder. And this could potentially be a recency bias pick, but I'm going for Ilkay Gundogan, who is 5.6 million at the minute. He has 71 points in his last 9 games, including 4 double-digit hauls. He also has 7 goals in his last 9 matches, which is as many as he had scored in the previous 61 games in all competitions. So something has definitely changed with Ilkay Gundogan. He was a holding player. He was a bit of a dog's body while Kevin De Bruyne and David Silva and Bernardo Silva and all these other creative free eights did their thing. But now he is kind of the main guy, especially with Kevin De Bruyne out. He's definitely got more of a role in the attack. He's got a great strike on him. So as we saw in the game against West Brom, he can score from anywhere nearly. So he has so many qualities to him. He can play as an 8, as a 10, and he seems to have some of the kind of qualities of a 9 nearly at times. So I think he's an excellent choice at his price. His scoring rate has gone up. He's second only to Bruno Fernandes in that category. And he's taking significantly more touches in the penalty area per 90 as well, when you compare this season to last season. And just listening to how Pep talks about him as well just has me very excited about him. I already own him. So it's just, I know he blanked this week against Sheffield United, but they're a very frustrating kind of opponent for City. We've seen the last few games, City haven't been able to beat them by more than 2 goals. So this is what Pep said. Gundo, I love the fact that he calls him Gundo, by the way. Just amazing. His own manager calls him that. Gundo is a guy who has an incredible sense of goal. It is not just knowing the right time to arrive at the box, it is the right second. This is the most difficult thing. Not to arrive 1 meter before or 1 meter later, but exactly the right time. And Gundo has this sense. And it's not just that. With his finishing too, he has this way to control the ball, slow down, and take a second to compose himself and see what happens and be clinical. Now, look, how can you resist that? Like, Pep gushing over this guy. Just all those things, it just makes me feel like, yes, I want to captain him for the rest of the season. But I just think that now this is definitely the time to get on him. There is, of course, that worry that, like, well, he hasn't done this before. What's going on? But like I said, I think there is a change there. I think that he is one of those City players that you really need to consider, especially with De Bruyne out. And you can't go wrong at his price point. In my opinion, I think right now you need 3 City players. They're really hitting top form. Whoever those other ones are, we'll probably get into that more. But I think he's one that you definitely need to consider on top of having possibly 2 Man City defenders. So, that's my first pick. Anyway, what do you think of that? And what's your next pick?
Yeah, I think it's a good pick. I don't think there's many players that are as in form at the moment, are they? On a similar line, I'm going to stick with Man City as well for my second pick. And my second pick is going to be Ruben Dias. I feel a little bit hypocritical saying this, as I wildcarded this week and I went for John Stones and Cancelo. But I think the game with Sheffield United perhaps proved why Dias is the best option. I think Stones obviously offers better values. He's cheaper, and Cancelo promises to return more in terms of attacking potential. But Dias is arguably the first name on the team sheet for Guardiola. And we've all seen Pep's team selects have proven costly to many managers in FPL. But Dias seems to be undisputed starter every week. And even though City's fixtures are going to get a little bit more difficult, they play Liverpool, Spurs, Arsenal, West Ham, United in the next 6. I think it's impossible to overlook the way City are playing. I think they've won the last 8 8 league games in a row now with 7 clean sheets. I just think they're really motoring now, aren't they? They could open up a lead. I think Dias is the one who's guaranteed to play.
yeah, they seem to be the only ones who want to win the league title at the minute. And everyone else is putting it together, a run, and then floundering at just the wrong moment. And Man City, just at the minute, they seem imperious. Over the last six games, Man City have conceded three shots per match. Three shots. They're not letting anybody get near them. They've really locked down that back line, and it's incredible to see, really. They're just, and with John Stones as an integral member, like, who would have seen this? Who would have seen this coming? So yeah, I think for sure it's good to triple up on City. Based on the underlying numbers, you would say João Cancelo is, like, you know, must have, because especially with De Bruyne out, he seems to be stepping up as well in terms of that creative role of being that guy who makes things happen further up the pitch. And you could see how far up the pitch he gets as well when he plays. He's not just strictly a fullback. But of, say, the three defensive options that we would be looking at, Stones, Diaz, and Cancelo, Cancelo has the fewest minutes. And Diaz, as you pointed out, he seems undroppable. He has played every minute of the last six games. And he seems to be the one that is least likely to be rotated. Of course, when we're talking about Man City, always the health warning that comes with it of Pep roulette. You just can't guarantee that your player is going to play, and that's the unfortunate thing. So you just got to spin that wheel and just hope it comes up trumps. That's why, to be honest with you, it's not insane to have three City defenders, because you are well covered. And the problem obviously comes if two of them are gone, then that's a real disaster, as it would have been yesterday if you had Diaz, Stones, and Cancelo. But I think having at least two City defenders, that's what I've got. I was at least covered. I got my Diaz clean sheet at least, so that was something. Definitely, I think you just need to buy a ticket to the Pep roulette. Simple as that. They're too good to miss out. And as well, there's potential for a lot of double game weeks coming up as well. But look, we've spent a lot of time on Man City now, and I want to get to mention your beloved Liverpool. Yeah. And I had a bit of a tough time with this. I actually didn't even know if I wanted to include Liverpool just because of the past month they've had. And as we are talking, like I said, it's the middle of, it's Sunday afternoon. We're talking before the Liverpool game because you want it to be awkward and do it earlier in the day. So we don't know what's happening in that game. So we can only talk about what's happened up to now. Like I said, they went a whole month without scoring, came back against Spurs, 1-3-1, looked pretty impressive. They looked back to themselves. But it's hard to look at the underlying numbers for that past month. I think you actually kind of have to ignore them, because it was just so bad for Liverpool, and it was such a weird funk. I think they just had a bad run, and I think now you will see them getting back doing what they do. So if we just look at game week 20 in isolation and how Liverpool did against Spurs, I think there were two players that stood out, but I think the one I'm going to look at is Sadio Mane. So if we just highlight his numbers from that game, in which he got a goal and assist, he had seven shots, four shots on target, 1.89 XG, and not 0.87 expected assists. He topped the game week, not just the game week in all of those categories. So that just popped up for me, and I was like, wow, like that's amazing. And he was struggling recently, came back with a bang. Obviously, the question is, will he keep it going? Will he keep playing? The thing that really caught my eye is the fact that Mo Salah seemed to be playing a little bit of a deeper role. So, I mean, Mo Salah is very good at both supplying and getting on the end of the ball, but it seemed like Klopp wanted him to play more of a kind of supply role, where he was dropping in, getting the ball and moving it forward, rather than getting onto it in the box. Now, he was still doing that, but it seemed to me like Mane, it seemed to me like it was like, right, we want to get it from the right wing to the left wing, and we want Mane to get on the end of things. And if that continues, then I think Mane is an excellent, excellent option. Like, I just want to get your opinion on it as a Liverpool fan, what you think about that, and whether it's a smart idea to overlook Mo Salah for Sadio Mane.
I think it's tough to overlook Salah, if I'm honest. I think last season and the seasons before, when there was a difference in the price tag, like a big difference, then leaning towards Mane would make sense at certain times. But I think if I was going Liverpool, I'd go Salah. I think he's not. I don't think he's scored in his last six games. He's still the top scorer in the league. He's ranks highly for shots, total shots. Mane does tend to be streaky, so you never know. You could get him on a nice run of form now. But if I was going for the safe bet, I would still go Salah, even with the most recent performance. But I'm still a little bit unsure about Liverpool. They did look back to their best against Spurs, and they've got some good fixtures coming up. I think they face Brighton, Sheffield United and Fulham in the next six, alongside games with Man City, Everton and Leicester. So I think this is going to be a really defining time in Liverpool's season.
And yeah, they really need to put a run together in this run of games. And to be honest with you, those are not easy teams to break down. Those teams have been quite stubborn, we've seen this season. So it's not as if they're going to be, you know, easy fixtures. But Liverpool are Liverpool, I think, and they surely should get back to it, because they've been playing like a, you know, a bottom half team lately, at least in terms of results and end product. So I think surely they have to get back to what they've been beforehand. Maybe not totally back up to, you know, like the 2019, 2020 levels that we saw, but I think there's too much talent on that team. There's no way they're gonna continue to struggle. But again, that's just a hunch. That's just a bunch. So we'll see. What about next up? Who have you got?
One player I like the look of in terms of fixtures is Wilfred Zaha. I think he's definitely dipped and slowed down since he started the season really well, didn't he? He's dipped slightly. He's only got two goals in his past nine, but I don't think there's a side who've got a better run of fixtures on paper than Crystal Palace over the next few weeks. So that their next five games are Newcastle, Leeds, Burnley, Brighton and Fulham. So I think Palace will be looking at that this run of games as these are games we need to be winning if we want to make sure we stay firmly away from the bottom three. And think Zaha's got nine league goals already this season. His best ever season was 10 in 2018-19. So I think he will fancy his chances of bettering that over the next few weeks. It's a little bit risky because I don't think he's in brilliant form, but off fixtures, I think Palace are a good team to look at, and Zaha's obviously the main man for them, isn't he?
Yeah, and look, we have our first crossover because I also have Wilfred Zaha. And again, like you said, on form, maybe you would think, I don't know if you want to include him in terms of must have players this month, but like you said, those fixtures are too good to ignore. Again, I'm doing that thing where I say one thing and I'm doing another. I'm looking at the fixtures. But I already have Wilfred Zaha. I brought him in as a replacement for Jota. I remember when he got injured, and it's just a last second replacement. And it hasn't really worked out. Like I said, two goals in nine. But he recently scored against West Ham, and he hit the bar against Wolves. That really should have gone in the net. And Palace seem to be picking it up lately. So with those good fixtures and them looking a little bit better, because remember they looked really, really poor there for a while, particularly after the 7-0 defeat to Liverpool, I think they could pick it up a little bit and it might be one to get on. Eberechi Eze is another one, but I don't think you can guarantee the end product quite as you can with Zaha. Now, the only thing is, when I was looking at this, Crystal Palace are second bottom for expected goals since game week 14, which is really bad and not a good indicator that they're going to go on a scoring streak. But I fancy them. I back Roy Hodgson. I will back Roy Hodgson to the grave. So I like that. I like that, Will. I like that Will Zaha pick. But I think next up, I'm going to go for a striker. It's the only striker I've picked, and that's Mikel Antonio. Now, Antonio missed a huge chunk of the season, but he came back with a bang in the double game week, scored two goals, one each against Burnley and West Brom. And then against Palace, he only got an assist, but he hit the woodwork twice. He definitely should have had more goals. There was another really good chance that he kind of only saw at the last second, and it deflected wide. And he was so annoyed about himself. And you could see how mad he was. He was so mad that he didn't get that goal. He really wanted to score. So he's definitely hungry for it. And West Ham are on a roll. It feels like he's on the verge of a haul. And I think, again, we haven't been able to watch West Ham Liverpool, but I think West Ham will put up to them, and I fancy them to put up to any team. And I just like Antonio. I had him towards the end of last season. He came off trumps, and his stats recently, since coming back, have been pretty good. I mean, only two players have had more shots than him in the last four game weeks, and he also has the second most expected goals. Only Cavani can beat him for that. I just think West Ham are a team you really need to be considering at the minute. There's Antonio, Thomas Socek, obviously. And by the way, only one midfielder has had more goals since Suchek's debut last season, and that's Bruno Fernandes. So there are definitely really good value options all over the place, not just those two players, but also in defence with Soufal and Cresswell, I think is another good option. So West Ham, you need to get on them.
Yeah, I agree that they're fine at the moment, aren't they? Is it six wins in all competitions since the turn of the new year? Hopefully that run will come to an end this afternoon, but we'll wait and see on that one. But Antonio, I like Antonio as a player. I think it doesn't matter who he's playing against. He causes nightmares for them, doesn't he, with his just his range of attributes he's got. And he obviously returned to form with the double game week. So yeah, I think it's a good shout, Antonio. I like the look at West Ham. I think David Moyes is really getting the best of the... he's looked at the players he's got available to him, and he's put them into a system and a style that's really getting the best of them.
Yeah, and they're definitely ones, like I said, based on form, you know, they're a team to get on, surely. And who do you have next up, Harry? Who is your next most important player?
This is one that I'm not saying with huge confidence, but given his performances so far this season, I'm going to go for Son Heung-min. I think Harry Kane's injury, we're not sure on the extent of that yet and how long he's going to be out for, which I think has increased the pressure on Son to deliver over the next few fixtures. I think he's obviously been brilliant this season, hasn't he? He's scored 12 goals, he's got 6 assists. Only Kane's been involved in more goals. I think there's a chance we might see him used in a centre-forward role with Kane out. I think it's a bit unclear yet whether who will come in to the front three and replace Kane. His options, he's obviously got Carlos Vinicius, who I think hasn't started a league game yet this season. He scored a few goals in the Cups. There's Gareth Bale, who's started one league game. Lucas Moura's not really been in the team. So I think if it is Moura or Bale that Mourinho goes for to bring into his front three and replace Kane, then Son may be chosen to the middle. They've got home games against both West Brom and Burnley in February, which could return decent points. Although they do have a few tough games with Chelsea, Man City and West Ham, but I just think if Spurs are going to pick up results in Kane's absence, then Son is the man who's going to have to produce.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth on this, whether Son is a good option, especially with so few premium level options. And our listeners will notice that we haven't really gone for very many premium players at all because they just haven't been performing or they're injured, like Harry Kane and Kevin De Bruyne. So I've gone back and forth on Son and whether he is a good shout with Kane out. Personally, I'm not convinced yet because I'm not convinced by Spurs without Harry Kane. Son definitely performed better, I think, without Harry Kane last season when he was out and we saw Son really come alive. But I'm just not convinced yet. I think there is a problem with Spurs' kind of attack at the minute. And like you know, that was fine when you have Kane and Son together and they can pull like really great individual stuff out of the hat. But yeah, I'm not convinced really at all. But look, we'll rattle through our last few choices. I really want to include Bukayo Saka because he's a player I like. He has 4 goals and 3 assists in his last 7 games, but the fixtures just aren't appealing at all. So I don't want to back Arsenal with fixtures like that. They're a team who I don't know. They're on good form and they've gotten some good results lately, but I'm just not going to back them. But I've got 2 defenders to end it, and one of them is Matt Target, the man I mentioned earlier, the Premier League player with surely the most T's in his name, but he's had 2 assists in the last 3 games, and I think that is just a random bump that he's gotten. I don't think he's going to continue getting assists for the rest of the season, but he has helped Villa keep 11 clean sheets this season, and he's played all but 16 minutes, so he is nailed on. He's going to start every single game as long as he is fit. Villa also have some games in hand. So there will be double game weeks there, but that also means that the team is probably going to be pretty tired at some point. And their next 5 fixtures are West Ham, Arsenal, Brighton, Leicester, Leeds. So not incredible, but Aston Villa are very good, I think. I think they're a very good team this season, and I would back them to put up against any team. Emi Martinez is the pick of the season in goals, and Aston Villa are allowing fewer chances and, you know, lesser quality chances than they were last season, and they've also got Emi Martinez in goal. So they're just, that defense is just so much better. So I think if you're going to go for a Villa defender, you go for Matt Target. I don't know if I'm going to get him myself because I've already got double Villa in Martinez and Grealish. So I don't know if I want to do that triple up just yet. So yeah, Matt Target for me. Who's next for you, Harry?
I really like Harvey Barnes. I think Leicester just continue to pick up results, don't they? I think they might have the odd setback, but they're amongst the most consistent. And I think just as I've said that, Harvey Barnes has just scored against Leeds. I think he's literally just scored. Wow. So if that is true, and he has just scored, we'll double check it. He's returned in 4 games in a row and 6 of his last 7. I think he's a really good young player who's just getting better, and he's playing in a Leicester side that I think are going to keep picking up results. So yeah, Harvey Barnes for me. I brought him in my wild card, and I think he's a really good player.
He's already paying off. Yeah. So I just seen it there. Yeah. 13, Harvey Barnes, set up by James Maddison as well, who I think is another good option. But yeah, that's crazy. So there you go. Harvey Barnes, I really like that pick. He's somebody that I actually have been wanting to get in, but these stupid injuries keep getting in the way. So yeah, he's next on my list. I have to find a way to get him in. And I should do easily, because I've actually got 10 million in the bank. That's how I've had to sell so many premium players lately. I've got 10 million in the bank. It's stupid. I really need to spend it. But anyway, right, we'll go through the last two really quickly. This one, again, maybe not the world of confidence in saying this, but you know, I'm going to ask you, Harry, actually, which defender do you reckon has the most key passes of the last 5 game weeks?
I would go for Cancelo, but we've already touched on him, so I'm presuming it's not going to be Cancelo.
Who do you reckon has the most big chances created?
Luka Dean? Oh, he's only been back a couple of games, hasn't he?
Yeah.
No. I think you might surprise me and say, I don't know. Go on, surprise me.
Would you be surprised if I said Luke Shaw?
Really? Well, you see, he wouldn't have come to my mind straight away, but he has been playing really well, hasn't he? So when I think about it, yeah, it's a good shout. He's leading those figures. He looks like a new player this year, doesn't he?
He looks like a different, like he looks reborn nearly. Like he looks in shape.
Yeah.
He's been very solid at the back, and he is getting forward there. Now, he doesn't have any assists over the last 6 matches, but those numbers stood out to me. He also has 3 clean sheets, which only Stones, Diaz, Holding, and Zinchenko, funnily enough, Zinchenko, can say they've had more. I think he's a little bit of a dark horse. We mentioned him on the last pod. Then he immediately went and got rested for the very next game. But I think he has that spot more or less nailed. I mean, I think everyone was expecting Alex Tellez to come in and take it, but he is really fought for it. And I think he's good. I mean, we've expressed doubts about Man United recently. We were saying that Bruno looks wrecked, and Bruno, like, so far, unless you're going to spring it on me with your last pick, Bruno is not in this list. He certainly let people down against Sheffield United. And against the Big Six this season, he has 0 assists and just 1 penalty goal. So he is not fixture proof. But I still think there's value in United. And I think Luke Shaw at 4.8, I think you could do way worse than getting him. So yeah, that's my pick. Who's your last pick?
We've actually already touched on him, but I've got Mohamed Salah down, which seems a little bit crazy considering he's not scored in 6 games. But I think there's so many premium players at the moment who are both injured. De Bruyne's out, Vardy's out, Kane's out. I think if you're going to go premium, then you probably need Mo Salah. He's, as I said before, he's still the leading scorer in the league. He ranks highly in shots, in expected goals. He's central to Liverpool's attacking play most of the time. And I just think with a lack of other premium options, if you don't have Salah, I think it might come back to haunt you.
Yeah, I feel like you might be right, but I've enjoyed this last like month or so where having Salah or not having Salah has not impacted your team. So it's been nice. It's been nice not having him take up that huge amount of budget space, and then for him not to do anything. It's because he's the player I think everyone fears the most not having, and you feel really stupid when he ends up hauling and you don't have him, as I did the first game week when he got a hat-trick and I had Sadio Mane. So yeah. But yeah, Mo Salah, I mean, great way to end your picks there. We'll have that up on the site. We'll have every, you know, all the players kind of listed, and we'll put in all the stats and stuff, so if people want to look back for themselves and read it, and you'll be able to find the link in the show notes, I'm sure, whenever I eventually get around to writing it anyway. Yeah, I think that Harry, that's the end of this episode. So everyone listening, make sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcasting platform so that you get every edition of this podcast, as well as the 90s Football Hall of Fame. Make sure to give us a kind review on Apple Podcasts. It would really, really help us. And check out thefootballfaithful.com for more Premier League content. Thank you so much for joining me today, Harry.
Pleasure as always.
Pleasure is mine. And thank you all for listening, and good luck in Fantasy Premier League this month.